We have a little blank up here. Blank is the work of faith and hope. Hopefully, by the time we finish our thought this morning, you'll be able to fill in the blank. Faith and hope are so important in our walk with the Lord. They actually go hand in hand. Oftentimes, we have the little definition that we read in Hebrews as the definition for faith, but just in a simple word, faith is simply confident belief. Just believing. And hope is similar. It's confident expectations. And so we all have to have, for this life, faith and hope. The scripture says, have faith in God. What that simply means is to believe in the Word of God, because that's all we have. God has given us His Word. We are a blessed people to have it in print, because all peoples have not had it, have not been so privileged. So, in order for me to believe in God, it's for me to believe in His Word, and that is faith. Now, there's various other thoughts about faith. There's faith that says things like this. What is faith? By which we look to Jesus. I like this. If you don't mind, I'm going to read it. It comes to my mind, and I have it in the front of my Bible. A dim-sighted eye is still an eye. A weeping eye is still an eye. Faith is the hand with which we lay hold of Jesus. Though it be a trembling hand, it's still a hand. He is a believer whose heart within him trembles when he touches the hem of the Savior's garment, that he may be healed. Faith is the tongue by which we taste how good the Lord is. A feverish tongue is nevertheless a tongue. And even then we may believe when we are without the smallest portion of comfort. For our faith is founded not upon feeling, but upon the promises of God. That's the Word of God, and we're so privileged to have the Word of God this morning. So privileged to be able to read the part that encourages us to have faith in God. Faith is not something that is dropped on us. Faith is something that is introduced to us. Oftentimes it is as a child, doesn't have to be. But I was thinking also of my niece, Lori, when she came down to leaving this world. She left a little writing to the family. And the song that she had was, I am waiting, I am longing for the summons to come. She wrote all of that. Here she is, a young mother with two very young children. And it would seem, excuse me, that her heart would want to stay here. But as she wrote the letter, she said she was looking back at when she was a child. She was adopted. Excuse me, I have a tickle in my throat this morning. I'd like you to pray. Oftentimes when I get this, I can hardly talk. I'm sorry, I have a weakness in my throat. She was adopted by my sister and her husband as an infant. The family that she was born to was a Catholic family. It's very rare for a Catholic family to give up a child. But Lori was placed in a family where she could hear the truth. And this is what she said in her letter. She said, "Faith came to me as a child, and I just let it grow." I want to tell you something. We've all got to let our faith grow if we hope to have faith for heaven. It has to start somewhere. When it's introduced to us, at whatever stage in our life, faith is vital to our walk with the Lord. Well, hope is also very vital in our walk with the Lord. As the scripture said, have faith in God. It also says, hope thou in God. Another scripture also says, David said this in the Psalms, I hope in thy word. Now, if you're not familiar with the word, it's difficult to have faith in God. Yeah. It's hard to have hope in God. So therefore, eat the word. Take it into your life. He says in one place to eat it. It says it's going to be sweet in your tongue or in your mouth. Sweet like honey. But it goes down into the belly and it becomes bitter. Oh, how can the word of God be bitter? It's when you begin to digest it and put it into your life. And those things of your life begin to be a contest. A contest to hope and faith. So the word of God is very important this morning. We're living in a time when people are feeding their minds on many other things besides the word of God. I'm very concerned and burdened. I see it can creep in so easily that we just give our mind and our thoughts and our time and our energy to other things that are of this world. Maybe not sinful things, but things that are not promoting that faith and hope in our lives. Oh, I want to urge us this morning as we listen to the thoughts, as we leave here this morning, that we say, you know, I'm going to be more careful. I'm going to really promote those things that will build my faith and build my hope. Oh, I challenge us this morning. I believe the Lord is wanting to challenge us that we will be more careful and watchful of those things that we're giving our mind to. Well, I'd like for us to look in the 11th chapter of Hebrews and consider, we call this the faith chapter. Excuse me with the little cough I have. This is a wonderful chapter. I'd like for you to consider it sometime as your study. This chapter has often been called the characters of this. Out to the side in my Bible, it says, the roll call of the heroes of faith. When you think about every one of these that are represented here, couldn't name them all, we'll name a few. Abel, Enoch. How was Enoch a hero of faith? Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. And that's just a few that are listed here. But these did not have the Word of God like you and I have. I want you to think about that. Yet they had faith in the Old Testament. When they couldn't go and purchase a little Bible and read it and read about the law, read about God, they didn't have it. It was not available to those patriarchs of the Old Testament, and yet they lived by faith. So verse 32 says, just a portion there, the writer says, what shall I more say? For the time shall fail me to tell of all of these others. And then he lists a number of others. And he comes down to, and it just says, and women that received their dead, raised to life again. But consider what their faith took in, not just of these other patriarchs. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And then you skip on down to verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. Verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having, thank you, honey. Received not the promise, God having provided something better for us. Oh, I want to tell you, this is powerful words this morning. It says over a little bit earlier in this passage that these all died in faith, not receiving the promise, but seeing it afar off. They embraced it. They believed in it. They didn't have it in their hands, so to speak, but they knew it belonged to them. That's faith. That's the faith that we're wanting to speak to you about this morning. If you look at verse 6 then, it simply says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you will not be able to have a relationship with God. You will not be able to commune with God. You will not be able to stand on the promises. Because the promises are, we've got to believe God is God, and we've got to believe He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That's what the Word says here. So faith. Faith is the the first verse. Now we go to the definition. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a very obscure definition. It's been difficult for me down through my life to apply that definition. It's hard for us sometimes to have that kind of confident belief and confident hope, confident, let's see, what word did I say it was? Confident expectations. So here we have a scripture that says faith is actually simply the assurance of the things that I hope for. I read this one somewhere. It said, faith forms the solid ground for what is hoped for. Now, if you're here this morning and your mind is earthly, if you're thinking of all of the things of this world that would benefit you in life, that would help you to have a happier life, material things are not going to fit the bill. We can have, we are thankful. I often am blessed by the prayer that is prayed right here in our congregation. As the prayer is started out, it is saying, we thank you, Lord, for jobs. We thank you for houses and cars. And there's a list of things. We're a blessed people. But when we begin to hope for those things that reach out beyond what the Lord is desiring it for it to be in our life, he gives us food and clothing. He gives us wonderful blessings. But our hope is not here. Our hope and our faith is in something eternal. We've got to look past the human cares of life, the daily routine of life. Our hope and our faith is going to have to be in that which is eternal. So without that kind of faith, oh, I want to tell you, the scripture also says that he wants you and me to prosper even as our soul prospers. But he wants you and me to be seeking heavenly things first, to seek after those things that are above. And then he says, these things will be added. What things is that? The things that you really need. Not always the things that you desire or want, but the things that you need. If you're seeking for the things that are above, if you're saying, Lord, increase my faith. Didn't the disciples say that to Jesus? Lord, increase our faith. Not necessarily for material things. It was something that they knew that they couldn't survive without faith. So we can cry out to the Lord. I believe it should be our prayer every day. Lord, increase my faith. Let my faith grow. Build my faith. Let my hope in thee, Father, to be strong. That could be a part of our prayer. It should be a part of our prayer. In this particular chapter of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I want us to consider Abraham first. Abraham was an outstanding example of faith. He says here, by faith, Abraham did whatever he did it by faith. When the Lord called him to go out, not knowing where he was going, it was by faith that he obeyed. And he went out. He departed from his family, from his place that he grew up. He went his way, following only the leadings of God himself. Now, you and I, when we read about Abraham, I do anyway, I'm saying you might, but when I would read the story of Abraham, it would sound like to me that this happened in his life. He was called out and he went to this place and this is where he sojourned. And the Lord gave him a promise. But it wasn't just consecutively like this year he did that and the next year he did it. There was a long period of time. As he went out, there was a period of time before the Lord spoke to him again, but his faith held strong. He didn't give up on God. He waited for the Spirit of the Lord to speak to him again. When the Spirit of the Lord promised him, your seed is going to be as the stars and as the sand of the sea. And that didn't happen immediately. He waited many years in some instances. And then the Lord would speak to him again. And then the Lord came to him and he said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. You're going to have an heir. You're going to have a son. And Abraham said, well, how am I going to know this is true? It wasn't that he doubted. He wanted a confirmation. And so the Lord told him, you're going to perform a sacrifice. And he told him exactly what to do. So Abraham obeyed that. He got his sacrifice all ready. He put it on the altar. The fire didn't come down right away. He had to wait for it. And during that time, it says that the fowls of the air would come down to destroy or consume his sacrifice. Well, there's a lesson in that for you and me. It said that Abraham protected it, would not allow, he stayed awake. He didn't fall asleep. He didn't walk away and say, well, I'll leave it there. And whenever God wants to consume it, it'll be in his time. He didn't say that. He stayed with his sacrifice. He stayed and kept the fowls of the air from marring his sacrifice. There's a lesson in that for you and me. We must guard our sacrifices. We must protect it, if you will. There's many fowls of the air. Oh, that's not birds. There's many spirits out here. Actually, the very air of this whole world is peopled with the very spirits of Satan, with the very spirits of hell, with the very spirits of darkness. I'm not going to go into that, but I have an opinion about darkness also. I feel like the enemy is really trying to darken our vision. But you and I have got to protect in order to have the faith of Christ, in order to have the hope of eternal glory. We cannot give up. We cannot become lethargic. We cannot become lazy. We cannot disregard our sacrifice for a moment. Amen. You've got to keep your eyes open. Many scriptures, the New Testament, Jesus has warned us, told us, instructed us, walk circumspect. Be awake, be alert, because you have an adversary. I want to tell you, the devil hates faith in God. He wants to destroy your hope. He has a purpose to hinder the people of God. And then the last few messages, we've brought this thought out. Satan is wanting to wear out the saints of the Most High God. He wants to wear down your faith. So Abraham, he protected his sacrifice, and after a while, the fire came and consumed it. And that covenant became real, and he believed it, though it didn't happen right then. In reality, it was many years before it became a reality. And a son was born, the son of promise. I want you to turn with me. We may come back to Hebrews, but let's look over in Romans. Because it's a New Testament scripture in the fourth chapter that speaks about Abraham, we're going to look at verses 3 and 18 through 24. Verse 3 says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Isn't that a wonderful, encouraging scripture to all of us? That we would believe God, believe his word, and that it could count for righteousness if we truly believe. If we truly have faith in God, if we have faith in his word, it will be counted for righteousness for you and me. And then you skip down to verse 18, speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. He didn't see anything. He had the promise. He had faith in the promise. The Lord's going to give you a child, and it's going to be an heir. And your seed is going to be as the stars and as the sea, as the sand of the sea. And it didn't happen. And then when it did happen, what happened then? He was called on. Take your only son and give him back to me. Oh, some real precious lessons in all of this part too. According to the scripture, Abraham did not flinch. Abraham began preparations. He had the fire. He had the wood. And he took his son. And his son says, Father, here's the wood and the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And his answer was, the Lord will provide. And we don't know the conversation that took place. Here he is, the son of promise. And Abraham believed it. But it said, who against hope believed in hope? Verse 19. And being not weak in faith. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Verse 22, therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, verse 23, it was not written for his sake alone. Why was it written? The scripture says, but it was written for us. So we have the account of Abraham taking his only son, and he's going to sacrifice. He went so far as to lift up the knife to perform the duty, if you will. And the voice called out, Abraham, stop. He says, here am I. He's ready to obey. He's ready to believe. And there was the sacrifice to take his place. God said, now I know how you really love me. Oh, I want to tell you, it says over in Hebrews now, 17 through 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tried and offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that Isaac shall be thy seed, accounting, verse 19, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. That was his faith. Abraham had faith that God's word would stand true and not change. God is a God that is true to his word. So we have these examples. Now, what about the things that come to us in our life? The things that we sacrifice to the Lord. And sometimes he says, give them back to me. Oh, I want to tell you, we have ministered just in the last few months about our petty trials. And what are we going to do when it really, if we're weary with running with the footman, or if in a time of peace, that wearies us? What are you going to do when it's really hard? When the Lord just comes and he says, would you give me back this promise that I gave you? Maybe I promised something. Are you willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll give it back? Or are you going to say, oh, Lord, but you promised. And you weep over it and you cry. It's a petty thing. Oh, I want to tell you, the Lord has greater grace for us than that. Yes. And he's wanting to strengthen us in our faith. So all of these characters of Hebrews, they believed and exercised hope and expectation. So now we're going to come down to this blank. In all of the characters that are listed here of the Old Testament, there's one element that I would say every one of them had in their experience. And that is to wait. Waiting is the work of faith and hope. To wait is to remain in expectation. Remain in expectation. You're waiting. You're waiting for the promise. Even if the Lord calls for you to give it back for the moment. You're waiting. If you have the assurance and the faith and the hope that he gave it to you. Oh, remember, we're talking of eternal things, of spiritual things. He will not withhold anything that he knows is for your good. In Lamentations 3, 25 and 26, it says, the Lord is good unto them that do what? Wait on him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good for a man to both hope and quietly wait. Did you know it's good for you and me to wait for some things? If everything was just granted that we ask for, we would be nothing more than spoiled children. We would just be a spoiled brat. God couldn't really use us at all, no more than we could use a little spoiled child. We couldn't trust it. Proverbs 13 and 12, it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is the tree of life. What we could say here is, if we have to wait, sometimes it makes our heart sick when we don't see an answer to prayer. We have a song in our blue book, and I really meant to have it up here. The title of it is Unanswered Yet. Part of that says it didn't say that it's never going to have an answer, but the waiting, it really is to strengthen our faith. It is to enliven our hope. So hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Oh, when we wait for something, it is more blessed than ever before. There is a little writing. It's the title of it is Expectation Corner. It's a little article written similar to how Pilgrim's Progress is. And in that writing, there is a place in there that's called Delayed Blessings Department. Oh, thank you. A Delayed Blessings Department. You ever had a blessing delayed? Have you had to wait on something? Have we ever had to wait for the healing of our body? Or an answer for a need? Have you ever had to wait till the Lord supplied financial needs? I want to tell you, all of those things, when it comes, is a rich blessing. Amen. And the waiting is not that bad when you look back. It's just hard when you're doing it. We've just recently all attended a precious little wedding. Well, there was a lot of waiting. There was a time that they both had to wait, and they counted the days. That's how we are. Brother Leslie has written a song for weddings about waiting. And in the song, it sounds like that the bride is saying, I've waited for this moment when I should be your bride. So waiting is something that's good for us in our when we receive the promise. But this, thank you for sending this up here. It said, unanswered yet, and it's not a statement. It's a question mark. It says, the prayer your lips have pleaded in agony of heart these many years, is it unanswered yet? Doth faith begin to fail? Is hope departing? And think you all in vain those falling tears? Say not the Father hath not heard your prayer. You shall have your desire sometime, somewhere. Unanswered yet, though when you first presented this one petition at the Father's throne, it seemed you could not wait the time of asking. So urgent was your heart to make it known. Though years have passed since then, do not despair. The Lord will answer you sometime, somewhere. Oh, these are wonderful verses of this song. Somebody had a vision of what faith really was, what hope really was, that even though you didn't get the answer right away, even though the waiting seemed hard at the time, sometime, somewhere, the answer will come. But in this little article about delayed blessings department, it says that this character was led into the Lord's treasure house and there discovered the office. And it was there where God kept certain things prayed for until the proper time. Oh, when that time comes and you know your prayer is answered, what do? You rejoice. It strengthens you. It strengthens your faith and confidence.
Yes, it does.
And your hope. Thank the Lord. It says, there are secrets of love and wisdom in the delayed blessings department. Yet the reward for the delay will be abundance, though faith and hope are tried. Oh, let's not be discouraged if our faith and hope are tried by waiting. Turn with me now to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 22:26-28. And it says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. And not only they, but ourselves also, even ourselves groan within ourselves." Verse 24, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For when a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience," what? "Wait for it." We wait until hope is fulfilled. It strengthens our hope. It strengthens our faith. Verse 28, "We know that all things..." Is this your scripture? How often do you quote it when you're waiting for the answer? Do you say, "We know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those that are called according to His purpose"? Do you quote that? Do you believe it? Do you trust in it? Is your faith fixed in that scripture right there? It will pay you and me to believe it and have faith in it and hope in it. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But then when it comes, when the desire comes, what is it? It's a tree of life. Oh, it's wonderful, but you've had to wait for it. Habakkuk, the 2nd chapter. This is an Old Testament scripture, but it's a very meaningful scripture. We're going to look at 1 and 3 and 4. 2nd chapter. It says, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon my tower and will watch to see what will he say unto me, and what shall I answer when I am reproved." Did you know the Lord wants us to stand still sometimes and just see what He's trying to say to us? Lord, what are you trying to do in this thing that you've denied me? Or you're holding back from me? Or you're delaying the blessing? It's in that delayed blessing department. It hasn't come out to fulfill my desire yet. You just stand still. You just listen to what will he say to me? And then verse 3. It says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." We could say, well, the desire is yet for an appointed time. "But the end, at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry..." What are we supposed to do? Wait for it. Wait till it comes. Don't give up. If you give up, if you take another way, this is a side thought. Abraham was not under grace, but he and Sarah did take another way. And it turned out to be a thorn in their flesh. In reality, it's affecting our society today, because they did take another side, another way. Don't you do that. You wait, though it tarry, you wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And then look at the last part of verse 4. What does it say? the just shall live by faith. Faith is very vital to your walk with the Lord, to your experience, to your joy of the Lord. Faith, waiting, hoping. Final verse is in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, very familiar. And it says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall not be weary. I'm giving you some meat in here. They shall not be weary, and they shall not faint. So, what we put in here is wait. Waiting. Waiting is the work of faith and hope. That's our little thought that the Lord has given us. And I'd like for us to sing 488, Living by Faith. Pray for me.